Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say he's alive. Oh, I'll give you another big hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Hallelujah. Let's sing it one more time. Play it now. Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify, let his life within me cry. Oh, hallelujah! You're alive this morning, Lord. Oh, yes, I know. Oh, sing with all your heart. Sing it to him, church. Hallelujah. Why don't you take just a minute, shake somebody's hand and tell them this. My Redeemer is alive today. Brother John, our Redeemer is alive today, brother. God bless you. Brother Amos, he's alive today, buddy. God bless you, Brother Don. He's alive today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Play some more of it, brethren. Play with all your heart. Play it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Maria Sponsia wants us to pray for her granddaughter's child. She's only 12 days old, very congested, so we want to pray for that child this morning. Also, Sister Natalie, we certainly want to continue to pray for her, that the Lord would just be with her. I believe she's still in Zion, Illinois, so let's pray that all would go well with her while she's there. I want to pray for Jeff Alexander, who has a very bad infection on his leg. Let's pray for that need this morning. Sister Lou Bean says to please remember our daughters, Sarah and Jessica, in prayer. They both need urgent needs, have urgent needs in their lives. So let's pray for that need today. Here's an unspoken, or actually an unsigned request, but says pray that they will get a position that has become available in the school system. We'll just commit that to the Lord. I want to pray for the Joel Moyer family. Many needs that they have. I pray that God would move against the enemy that's come against them. So let's pray for that need this morning. Sister Hannah from the Netherlands says, would you please remember me in your prayers? I'm going to be doing some laparoscopic surgery on her this week. So let's pray that all would go well on that behalf. Sister Barbara Gould says, I want to thank the Lord for protecting me as I fell down 12 foot of stairs. I also appreciate the prayers of the sisters who prayed for me. A lot of bangs and bruises, but no broken bones. So she wants to praise the Lord for that this morning. So thank God for that. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, how many of you believe that we're serving a God that can answer prayer? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. Brother Daniel, if you come this morning, lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service today. Just a tremendous privilege that you and I have once again to come to the house of God. Don't have to go to church. Don't have to live right. Don't have to do nothing that pertains to the Lord, but I get to. Amen. Isn't that the best part about it? You get to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Daniel, God bless you this morning. Love our brother, don't we? Amen. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Bless you.
Amen. I was thinking as I was standing back there how we used to have family reunions. I know all our family would get together. You know, as should be the way it is every time we come to church. It should be like a family reunion. Amen. Just people that's precious to us. And every one of your needs is important this morning. And you know, I'm so glad that we got God that's able to take care of every one of our problems. Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, oh, what a privilege it is to be in your presence this morning. What a privilege it is to be among these people, knowing, God, that you say in your word that you'll take care of us. And God, that you even know when a little robin falls out of the sky. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll take this service this morning. And God, that your great Holy Ghost will come down and move among us. And God, I pray that you'll bless the people. And God, these needs that we hold, these petitions in our hand, these prayer requests that the people have in their heart, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move right now. knowing that there's no distance in prayer. Wherever it may be, God, may your Spirit go forth to heal, to save, and to deliver. Heavenly Father, we pray for Brother Donnie this morning. God, as he ministers unto us, help us, oh God, that we receive strength. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take charge of every part of this service. God, we pray that you'll be with our musicians. Help them, Heavenly Father. Every office holder in this church, I pray that you'll be with them. And God, we know that there's storms going forth in the country. God, we know that there's famines and pestilence. God, we know that all these are the beginning of sorrow. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us, that we'll be able to come forth victorious out of every one of them. We'll give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Let me make a couple of announcements real quickly. Now, next Sunday afternoon at 6 o'clock, over in the fellowship hall, we're going to have a bluegrass concert. And it's all going to be gospel, I promise you that. And it's all going to be gospel music. And I think you know that already. But some of the brothers that play, as you heard the other night, or the other morning whenever they sung, the violin, the dobro, the banjo, the all the stuff that goes with that, I don't know what all they'll be playing, but Brother Sam Clark, Brother Brandon, and all these guys, Brother Wiggins is going to be playing, and some of these guys on the platform will probably be there looking and watching and wishing they was playing. But everybody's invited to be there at 6 o'clock over in the fellowship hall next Sunday afternoon. Now, if you sisters wanted to fix a dessert, that would, you know, that's, you can't have gospel music without having something to eat. So, and most of us have never met a dessert that we didn't like. I like them real well. So that's next Sunday afternoon at 6 o'clock over in the fellowship hall. There's going to be some of the brothers that's going to be playing music, probably be doing some singing. You're all invited. If you'd like to come, you're invited. Remember that at 6 o'clock next Sunday afternoon over in the fellowship hall. Brother Terry Horn says that they would like to welcome their family this morning. Their daughter, Julie Newmer, her husband, Dominique, and their two children, Marissa and Ethan. They're in service here this morning, visiting from Ohio. Where would you be? Raise your hand. Where are they at? Right over here. Give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Glad to have you. Praise the Lord. Now let's sing our song. Until then, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep on doing what we're doing. We're going to keep on coming to church and living right, believing the message of the hour, and practicing Christianity. Somebody say praise the Lord. So until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. Yes, until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day. A step in stone along the trail.
God, my final hope. So until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy I'll carry on.
I'm going to let you be seated this morning. We're going to have a couple of specials. Sister Sarah is going to come and give us a song this morning. Then Brother Caleb has a song. I've got some more songs we'll get to as we can do that. So let's enjoy. We enjoyed our specials last night, didn't we? They were really good, and I believe you're going to enjoy them this morning. Let's enjoy our singers today.
The woman needed healing of that dreaded disease. Her money bought physicians, but only Jesus could bring relief. And though her last thread of hope, it was worn down to a strand, her heart held on to faith till she could touch him with her hand. 'Cause when you're hanging by a thread till you can climb life's mountain, though the cliffs are rough and jagged, you can cope. If you should slip and reach rope's end, you'll find the hymn of His garment. So don't let go of that last thread of hope. He looks at you hanging on to a frayed and fragile faith. But are you hanging to the rocks above a canyon of dismay? Just reach out for that lifeline. It will never break in two. And hold fast and don't lose hope. For once again, God will pour you through. 'Cause when you're hanging by a thread, still you can climb life's mountain. Though the cliffs are rough and jagged, you can go. If you should slip and reach rope's end, you'll find the hem of His garment. So don't let go of that last thread of hope. If you should slip and reach rope's end, you'll find the hem of His garment. So don't let go of that last thread of
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He's carried me through. And if there's one thing I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. And I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful. Is faithful and true. And in every situation, He has proved His love to me. When I lack the understanding, He gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful.
that song, and I love to hear him sing it. I want to say welcome back home. All of our folks that went to camp, hope you had a wonderful time. I'm sure you did. Glad to have you back. Let's enjoy Brother Caleb as he sings this second verse for us in the chorus again.
My heart rejoices when I read the promise that there's a place that you've prepared for me. And I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, situation, He has proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, He gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said,
thank the Lord for that today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 today. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And I'd like to speak to you today on Elijah's rapture. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. That seems hard. You're asking for a double portion of what He has, and it's based on one thing, that you keep your eyes on that prophet of God. And if you turn this way and he's gone, you just missed it. If you go get something to drink and he's gone, you missed it. You go get a sandwich and he's gone. I imagine he was glued to him like hot glue. Can you imagine? If this was said to you, and this is the basis on which you get it, are you going to leave him? Not if you want it bad, you ain't. My. Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. So you're just walking down the road talking to the prophet of God. All of a sudden, out of the blue, a chariot of fire and horses of fire. But there's one thing on your mind. Where'd he go? This man was concentrated, focused. I'll tell you one thing, friends. It takes a lot to keep your eyes on a man if a chariot of fire comes through. Any of y'all ever seen one? Yeah. Chariot of fire, horses of fire? Me either. Just our curiosity would get us. But notice this. There appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. Glory to God. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you today, Father, for the faithfulness of our merciful high priest. We thank you today, Lord, that you are so mindful of your children as you always have been. We know it is your character, so as long as your children are upon the earth, you will be faithful. We again petition you, Lord. You see our many needs. We are assembled here today. We come from different places. We crossed, Lord Jesus, some of these folks had to get up early this morning to be able to get ready to start moving this way. 2 or 3 hours, whatever it was, to church. We've not come to see one another. Neither have I come to see them, nor entertain them. But I have come that I might be able to get out of the way, that the Almighty might take this human instrumentality, move it apart, and speak to them. Help me, Lord Jesus. Speak to us today your great word, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Certainly nice to see each one of you today. Trust the Lord will bless our gathering together as we have come to feed upon his unfailing promises. God dwells and moves in the realm of election. As we saw the first rapture last night with Enoch, that God had ordained this certain man to be in this great thing and created this thing called the rapture for him, which had never been before. And Brother Bram tells us in the rapture sermon that there has been 3 raptures already that are in the past. That was Enoch, Elijah, and of course Jesus and the saints with him of Matthew 27. So today, by the help of the Lord, we'd like to look at Elijah's rapture. And we know that the rapture, again, now it is by election. You do not get it. It's not whosoever will. Anybody, whoever wants to go can go, only by election. That's God's choice. Now, whenever we think of Elijah, we know that he has a special, his ministry has a special place to us in this day. Because even though it was not the literal man Elijah that God sent to us, but it was a man that was anointed with that same spirit. And we see very great similarities to that, and it makes us appreciate that, does it not? So we thank God for it. So what we would like to do by the help of the Lord before we actually go into the details of his change is to look at some of the conditions that existed before he actually took his change and see if there's any parallels that run with where he was at that time to where we are today, as we did with Enoch last night. The Bible gives us definitely more detail about the life of Elijah, of his ministry, of the opposition, and the things that he went through and what he faced than it did with Enoch. With Enoch, you're very limited in what you're able to see about him. But yet with Elijah, there's a whole lot more written about him, and there's something, of course, that God, when God does that, there's a significance. It's not just a historical significance, it is that, but it also, naturally, when God gives us more information about something, it is there for our benefit as well. So when God calls this man, we really don't know where he comes from. Now, his name is the first time he actually appears in the Bible. If you'd like to turn with me, it's 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. This is the actual first mention of Elijah. We don't know where he was born. We don't know really how old he was whenever he appears here in 1 Kings chapter 17. But he just appears out of nowhere. He comes on the scene in a very difficult time as far as when Israel is having some real trouble times. And yet Elijah disappears seemingly out of nowhere, a man of God that has come on the scene, and God is going to greatly use this man.
First Kings chapter 17 verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. Now he was not born there necessarily, but just an inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God liveth, before in whom I stand, there shall not dew nor rain these years fall, but according to my word. Now this is the first mention that we have of Elijah. So the Bible does not always give us much of the molding years of the prophets of God. And you remember now, one of the great differences between Brother Branham and the prophets of the Old Testament. The prophets of the Old Testament, most of them were not preaching prophets. So they did not go out and hold a campaign over here and a meeting over there and a meeting over there and a meeting over there and a meeting over there. Neither were they brought up in the earlier years of the pattern or of the teaching of church ages. So they were in the Old Testament. So much of what they would do is they would sail on by themselves and God would deal with them. And then whenever they'd have a word from the Lord, they'd come out, thus saith the Lord. They'd do what God told them to do. They'd go back in the wilderness and you wouldn't see from them or hear from them again for maybe months or maybe years. Now, Brother Branham was totally different from that in that he had different gifts because this is an apostolic day. God is no longer trying to repeat an Old Testament to where the prophet stays by himself, but if a man is a prophet in this day, he will have apostolic gifts to preach. There is no such a thing of an apostolic prophet never preaching. That's absolute nonsense and heresy. But Brother Branham was gifted apostolically, and in that, he will progress in his revelation, he will progress in his understanding, because he started out with Baptist theology and Baptist things, and God would allow him to grow and grow. I thank God for that myself. Now, many folks in the message, what they want to do, they want to make Brother Branham an Old Testament prophet. You're doing something that God never done. God never made Brother Branham an Old Testament prophet. He chose to make him a New Testament one. So therefore, he let him, allowed him. It wasn't even like Paul, in that Paul would go out to Arabia by himself and study there. God started Brother Branham out as a Baptist preacher. He could have started him out as a message preacher had he wanted to, but apparently God didn't want to do that. He could have started him out as a Pentecostal, but he didn't want to do that either. He wanted to allow him to be started as a Baptist. He'd let him grow in his understanding of eternal security. He'd grow in his understanding of grace, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He would teach for many, many years that when you accept Christ as your Savior, that you're born again. But as it went on in time, he found out that was exactly opposite of Scripture. And God had a reason for doing that. Oh my, you didn't quiet on me already. Hey friends, I thought we were supposed to say what he said. I found most of the folks who say that don't believe it when you say what he said, that they didn't know what he said. Because if they'd have known he said that, they wouldn't have told you to say what he said. Come on now. So Elijah was totally different from that in the Old Testament. So he was alone with God, had years of molding and making and shaping. So when he comes out, he's not coming out on a church age dispensation. He's not coming out with a prior understanding. He'll have to go up, but the seals will be open to him. And he'll have to grow and grow and understand more and more and more. But he stomps right out of the wilderness with us, saith the Lord. Now it's not going to be a cumulative revelation. It's not going to be a cumulative vision. It will not be something that will further unfold. If you notice, Brother Branham, many of the visions that he will tell, he'll tell it here and that as understanding comes to him, and then he'll retell the vision 5 years later, 6 years later, whatever more. The vision will be told in a little bit different way than what it was told initially. Now people try to compare them two quotes and say he's not saying the same thing. He is saying the same thing. But what he's telling it in the latter date as further understanding come to him, and then he tells it, and if you're not careful, it'll stumble you. But you see, Elijah, in the Old Testament was totally different from that. God would let him stomp out of the wilderness, so here he comes, and the word of the Lord came at him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now here he delivers the word of God to Ahab, this wicked king. And he said, there'll not be dew nor rain until I call for it. Then the word of God comes to him again, and he says, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So here the prophet is now, the whole place, all of Israel, is in a time of great famine. And God has brought this man to a spot to where he is actually being fed. Brother Ram called them colored servants that come down and they brought him a sandwich and they'd bring him water. And God was taking care of that man. Now notice, this is all prior to his rapture. It was not everything was going easy for him. Everything was going his way. He had no trouble. No doubt he felt pressure. No doubt it was a face walk. Can you imagine sitting there waiting around noontime and you're watching your watch and the ravens has brought the day before and the day before and you're sitting there totally by face. There's no grocery stores. If there was, they didn't have no food. If they did, he was a poor man. He wouldn't have had enough money to buy any food. So it was face. Every day he waited for water and he waited. They wondered, how in the world is that man living? They'd never believe it if he told them. UPS, United States Post Office, FedEx, whatever more, they'd never believe it. It was RavenX. Here they come. It was fresh delivery. Oh, glory to God. God sent it right down to him every day. It wasn't an old dead carcass. Now you think, a raven is the type of bird that'll eat possums, they'll eat coons, they'll eat all kinds of things. And you imagine, out of their mouths, there had to be a sanctifying power of God before that prophet would ever touch that sandwich, knowing what their nature was. But God took them and he must have washed their old mouths out with soap or done something, and he used them to bring that prophet of God a fresh sandwich every day. And he'd bring him fresh water. Where was they getting it from? I have no idea. Amen. Was God making it? Angels bringing it down? I don't know. He probably couldn't understand it. He probably couldn't figure it out. But he just enjoyed it and rubbed his belly and said, man, that was good. I can't wait till supper time. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And it shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So now watch. Here he enters into this phase, but it's not going to last. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Man, I'll tell you one thing. He's in a Cherith resort. I mean, 5-star. Here he is, all the rest of the people around there, they don't know what in the world they're going to do, and he has got maid service. They come flying right down with this tray on their wings, or however it was they done it, and bringing it on down, and my, he's running and enjoying it. But it ain't going to last. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up. A man in the will of God? Going where God told him, and the brook dries up. Because there had been no rain in the land. And you imagine the Raven Express started slowing down. My, before that, it was like clockwork. I mean like clockwork right there. What's going on? God's got another change. Now what's this change in the ministry of this man? 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Now God sending him to the Gentiles. And dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now what's absolutely phenomenal about this is, she's commanded of God to sustain him. But she don't even know it. But you see, the way God's looking at it, she's commanded to do it. She will follow that command as soon as she finds it out. Oh, glory. God has commanded that you be changed. You just ain't changed yet. God has commanded there will be a resurrection. It's just not happened yet. Oh, glory to God. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman, her Laodicean husband was dead. Her Lutheran husband, her Baptist husband, her Pentecostal husband. He had died in the time of the famine of the church ages. Glory! Hallelujah. Gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now here's a prophet of God walking in the will of God, and now he's thirsty. You as a Christian in the will of God, you ever get thirsty for God's goodness and God's mercy and just a refreshing drink from the presence of God? And you think there's something wrong? Maybe God's leading you to Zarephath. Maybe God's leading you to Carmel. Maybe God's leading you somewhere else. And sometimes we have to feel that a little bit to get a little bit more sincerity. Notice this. Oh my, hallelujah. Now she's out gathering sticks. So he calls her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. As she was going to fetch it, he called unto her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, she's a real believer. What's her reply? As the Lord thy God liveth. How does she know that the Lord is his God? Since she's in Sidon, a Gentile city, wicked, sinful city that God later would destroy because of the wickedness. How did she know this man knew? Notice the words, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Who told her this? Notice the name of this prophet. E-L-I-J-A-H. My God is Yah. My God is Yah. And she said, as Yah, thy God liveth. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering the cross, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, glory to God, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now how would this one over to you mothers? How would you mothers have felt? What if we were in famine here at East Tennessee? Hardly no food left, and I came to your house. And you had just enough to make just a little bit for you and your children. And you was going to starve. And I come in and I said, Sister Cheryl, please give that to me. Sister Barbara, don't eat that, your brother Jimmy. Give that to me. Could you do it as sowing seed, as an offering? Or would you look at me and say, you are so selfish. We're starving to death. And you would actually take from me and Jimmy. You would take from me and Shirley. You would take from me and my kids. I wonder if there wasn't something further than what our eyes see in the natural. That this prophet of God was calling for an offering. Oh, glory. What's she gonna need? She's gonna need flour, wheat, whatever more. She's gonna need oil. But what's she gotta do? She's gotta give a sacrifice offering first. Don't worry, I ain't gonna lift an offering after a while and take your money. But I wonder, we want blessings, we want peace, we want this and that and the other. I wonder sometimes if the Lord don't want a sacrifice. I wonder if the Lord don't want a sacrifice of our praise. A sacrifice when you have to go to prayer and you don't feel like praying. Yet you take what little bit you've got and you offer to Him as a seed. Now, if she'd had four or five big barrels of flour in there, Martha White everywhere, and, you know, cornmeal, self-rising, had the yeast, and all this everywhere, this wouldn't have been no sacrifice. But make me one first. and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and thy son. Oh, and this whatever ever heart longs to hear. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. The barrel of meal. Now how could he tell her this prophecy when she hasn't acted on it yet? Because the Spirit of God witnessed back from the throne of God. Go ahead and tell her, because she's going to do it. Amen. Some people, they would have to wait it until they brought the whole cake, not the bride. Glory to God. That's how God can speak your destiny before you ever arrive to it. That's why God can foreordain and predestinate, because he knows. So he'll say, go ahead and tell the bride there's going to be a rapture. Go ahead and tell her, I see your destiny out there. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. You know, friend, there must have been something so reverberating from this woman's soul that it touched the heart of God himself. He don't even wait till she gets back and then tell her. But he tells her before she ever even goes. That's the kind of believer I want to be. That God just tells me to do something. And you don't even have to wait till I carry it out. He can go ahead and give me the blessing. No, I will. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. So now it changed from colored servants to a widow woman. Glory. Keep that in mind. So now it moves from ravens feeding Elijah to a woman feeding Elijah. But there's a higher order yet to be attained to. Now notice in chapter 18 verse 20. So Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered, oh my, not a word. That's a miracle within itself for people to hold their peace. Lord have mercy. Then said Elijah unto the people, oh my, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I'll dress the other bullock and lay it on wood, on the altar, and put no fire under. You call on the name of your God, you Trinitarians. And I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. For ye are many. Well, that's not the only reason, but we'll just say that. For ye are many. And call on the name of your gods and put no fire under. Notice now. And they took the bullock which was given unto them and they dressed it. And they called on the name of Allah. Baal. Shintoism, Mao, all these other gods. They called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon. Saying, oh, Allah, oh, Allah.
was nobody home. Because there is no God named Baal. There is no God named Allah. There's one God and His name is Jesus Christ.
So since there was no reality, they move over into fanaticism by emotion. Oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any of them answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now we believe in worship here. We believe in the Spirit of God moving on us. I ain't got no time for a bunch of junk and nonsense. Why would we want to accept trash and we can have the genuine? Now watch verse 27. You see this, Elijah. He graduated from Bob Jones. He graduated from Milligan over here. He graduated from all kinds of religious schools and he knew all kinds of nice manners. He knew how to treat people. He knew how to talk to people. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Boy, he didn't have very nice pulpit manners, did he? Now watch, he's mocking. Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking or he is pursuing. Now watch what he's doing. Either he's talking, in other words, if he's talking, he can't hear you when you're praying, which is a pretty feeble God. My luck, I'd go to prayer and every time I'd be praying, he'd be talking. But that ain't my God. My God can be talking and 10 million children can be talking to him at the same time and he don't miss one word. Now, friend, look at the opposition before his rapture. So he mocks him and says, cries aloud, for he is a God. Either he's talking or he's pursuing or he's in a journey or, I know, he's sleeping. Your God is so tired. You may have to go up to him and wake him. Wake up, Obey, wake up, we need you. Can't you see when the spirit of Elijah come in this day, he would get on our Elijah and he would make fun of the systems. He would mock them. He would rebuke them. Then I ask you, what is it on preachers today? What is it on preachers today? They're nothing many of them but jelly back cowards. They will not fall under the same thing. They'll not cry out against sin. And as a matter of fact, a man who gets under this type of a spirit, they think he's an absolute nut and an imbecile. Right. Oh my. Well, maybe your God's asleep and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the men with knives and lances. Boy, I mean, they're really feeling it now. Glory to God. Glory. And they cut themselves and blood spilled everywhere. The Bible says, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied. So they can't make nothing happen, so now they're going to prophesy it's going to be in the future. Tomorrow, thus saith Baal, tomorrow, I'll show up tomorrow. Elijah said, today's your day, show up or shut up. It ain't tomorrow, it ain't day, next week, it ain't day after tomorrow. You either show up today or you ain't a God. Oh my goodness. They prophesied under the time of the offering of the evening
sacrifice.
You imagine old Elijah sitting over underneath an umbrella, sitting over and saying, whew, this is wearing me out. Them guys, I had to move over a little bit. That blood was gushing all over me. All that racket, they was running up and down the floor screaming, three gods and women preachers and eternal hell and all that stuff. Whew, man, it's burning me up. Pardon me. Oh, I feel so much better. Ah. Now it's my turn. Oh, glory. He lets them go on and on. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Stops and breaks for lunch. Goes back, get a sandwich, come out. 1, 2, 3, 4. He said, I'm getting sick of this stuff. So at the time of the evening offers in verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Friends, God don't want our sacrifice on a broken altar. We might take our quotes and pile them 40 feet high. We might take our knowledge and pile it all around. Take our worship and pile it all around. We've got to begin where things are broken first. And in this situation, it was an altar. A home, a place to worship, a place to get alone with God. Don't pile all your quotes on top of a home that has no commitment to Christ. Notice that Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came saying, Israel shall be thy name. Watch, rebuilding the foundation of worship. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. The ministry of Elijah is an order-setting ministry. Why not just power up like you're going to make a bonfire? He ain't building no bonfire. He's building an altar, and it's got to be in order. You imagine him going out there just real meticulously taking them stones and just laying them, go back there and eye them, look at them, you know, move it just 16th of an inch, there you go. And then prophet, oh, good night. They're standing there, they look like wild dogs that had a hold of them. I mean, they're standing there just bleeding and everything all over. Said, hey, boys, hang around now. Don't y'all go to, I'm going to the ER. You ain't going to no ER. You stay right here. The fireworks is fixing to happen. You're going to hang around while my God brings the fireworks down. You can go to the ER when I get done. You know what ER stands for, don't you? Elijah's retreat. Glory! He lays all the stones out. Now he digs a trench. Put the wood in order. Cut the bullock in pieces. Here he just goes out and just cuts it out. Ribeye, filet mignon. Laying it all out. Just, oh my, what is this man doing? We're wore plumb out. What is he? Don't rush me. God's got a way. Now watch. So he lays everything in order. He says, go get 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. Now 4 times 3 is 12. So they got 12 stones and they got 12 barrels of water. So now there's water in the trench. The animal is soaked. The wood is totally saturated. God loves doing miracles when it's impossible. Now any Boy Scout could have built a fire underneath that sacrifice in just a matter of minutes with a couple of sticks. But God's going to make it look so impossible. You imagine them by now. Their ER thoughts has kind of subsided. And they're thinking, this guy's an absolute nut. He is going to offer a burnt offering unto God. And he's pouring water on top of it. And he expects to light it. Uh-uh. He wasn't expecting to light it. Oh, glory. If he would have been expecting light, he wouldn't have done it because they got down there and said, but you see this guy up here, he's got a big mouth with a lot of brass, and when he sends down that blazing fire, all he's got to do is go. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench with water. You see, the Elijah ministry always connects to the waterway. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant. Here's the key to all this we've read. That I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord! Hear me! Notice why he wants his prayer answered. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God. So they won't think I'm a great person. So they won't think, well, they'll go around and tell everybody, Brother Donnie prayed for me. So-and-so, or Brother Donnie, well, this preacher, oh my, that preacher prayed for me. But answer my prayer, Lord, so they'll know there is a God in Israel. Oh my, notice this. Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And that thou hast turned their heart back again. What was the ministry of Elijah going to do to us in the last day? Turn our hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah dismissed them all and let them all go back to the house, and they all lived happily ever after. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Oh my goodness. Friends, our job today is not to kill people physically. It's not to kill them naturally. It's to try to kill the bondage that they're under by demon spirits. And demons get mad at you when you are called to deliver God's children. People think they wish they had a ministry to cast out devils and do this and that. Let me tell you one thing. Don't ask for it. If God calls you to do it, then that's fine. But you have no idea what goes with it. You have no idea. Now watch this. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. For it was a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a cloud out of the sea like a man's head. Glory, notice, before the rain came, Elijah saw a cloud shaped like a man's hand. Now there's prophesied to be a rain in the last days. It is called the latter rain, which is rapturing faith. And our Elijah saw a cloud like unto a man's hand. When was it? Before the rain is going to fall on the bride. Glory to God. God once again has identified himself on the earth. But then Monday came. First Kings chapter 19 verse 1. And Ahab told all the churches, Jezebel's system, all that Elijah had done. And was all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. So let the gods do to me and more also, if I not make thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Whoa. This man that called fire out of heaven kills all these prophets. And now he's running from the threat of one woman. But you see, now the anointing is pulled back off of him. Oh my goodness. He went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. He don't even want nobody to know where he's at from this point on. He might tell under pressure. So he leaves his servant. Where are you going? Where are you going? I'm out of here. I ain't leaving no forwarding address. No email, no text, no nothing. No satellite phone. Nobody will find me. Oh yeah, they will. Glory. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And Caton sat down under a juniper tree. And requested for himself that he might die. Any of you Christians ever been there? You're just so low on the bottom, you don't care if you live another day. That's all? Rest of his liars. Just outright liars. Liars! Liars! Now watch him. This is the same man, church. This is prior to his rapture. Have you ever soared on Carmel? Have you ever been there in the presence of God? And then feel this way. And your enemy tells you, you're not even saved. You're not even saved. Well, you're just making an empty profession. There's nothing to it. You're perfectly normal for the Elijah church. He requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. For I'm not better than my father's. Now let's let Elijah give us a little bit of insight about Elijah. Because truly, a man with the spirit of Elijah would be able to give us more of an insight of how another man with the spirit of Elijah felt than someone like me or you. Brother Raymond says, I'll tell you, Elijah and his nerves is on edge anyhow. I always felt sorry for him. Imagine there was an affinity when he would read Elijah of the Old Testament, an affinity that he identified with. His nerves was about ready to break anyhow. And that great pound from Jezebel finished the stroke. Then he ran and went into the wilderness and laid under the juniper tree. Oh, that experience of the juniper tree. There's many of us find ourselves under the juniper tree. I get myself under there many times to a place you don't know what to do. You're frustrated. Frankly, he says, I'm right under it now. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. I just got out a couple of days ago. It ain't one of my favorite resorts. It ain't 5-star, believe me. Part of a Christian, part of being a servant of God. But it's not one of my favorite places to visit. So Elijah finds himself under the juniper tree. Notice, Brother Bim said, I get myself under there many times to a place that you don't know what to do. You're frustrated. Frankly, I'm there under it now. And wondering, oh God, what would you have me to do? You know, people under the juniper tree is like Elijah. They like to sleep. You ever notice, folks, many of them, how depressed they get? They can't sleep at night, which is really weird when your body's supposed to sleep, but they can sleep all day, up all night. They're wore out. They're exhausted. They're depleted of strength. They're depleted of energy. They're not nice to be around. They're not cheery and pleasant. They're like an old crab. They're just sitting there ready to pinch your head off if you say something to them. Try to be merciful to them, friends. They may be under a juniper tree. Notice this. This is amazing. Brother Ram says, I preach to more tired people than anybody in the world. People so tired. They're so mentally strained. Now, if this was 1959, what about 2012? I come in here sometimes and I look at you folks and you are so tired. You are so strained. That's why Brother Louis is trying and trying and trying to get you in the spirit of worship, because that heaviness on you, you brought it with you. It's not that you want it to be that way. It's just the age you're living. You're so tired. You battle mentally. You battle physically. You battle in your home. You battle on your job. You battle at work. You battle at Walmart. Everywhere you go, it's a battle. And sometimes when you come to church, it's even a harder battle. And it just wears you out. My, he says, they're so mentally strained under their filling of the insane institutions and the hospitals everywhere. They went in such a nervous condition until they don't know what to believe. And they don't know what they want. They're just laying there. They don't know what to do. Oh, it's such a sad sight. Very late under the juniper tree. He didn't know what to do. His nerves was broke. He was shaking, crying, no doubt. He was in a terrible condition. Many of us hit those places, especially after a Mount Carmel experience. Now, if you'd been under Elijah's ministry that day, one of the 7,000, and you would have been out in the wilderness sheep hunting or something other, and you happened to come up, and in the distance you see a juniper tree, and you see a man over there, looks like a man, bald headed, and he's over there. You said, there's a maniac over there. But you got to looking closer, and it was your messenger. Would you have resigned and left the message? I don't know if you understand it or not. Poor Elijah, after this experience, actually had a nervous breakdown. The man went into a nervous breakdown. You've been around people who's had them. At times, they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. They just sit around and wring their hands and shake. And they're scared. They don't want to be around nobody. They don't want to get out. They just... Can you imagine Elijah said, oh God, please let me die. Oh God. If you'd walked up on him, he said, I can't be Elijah. I just seen him go far at him. Can't be Elijah. God, please, I don't want to leave. Please, let me die. I don't want to wake up in the morning. I don't want to live another day. Please, God, let me die. Before Elijah's rapture. You mean he wasn't just sitting around all the, oh glory, hallelujah, glory, glory. They didn't have meth in them days. I'm convinced a lot of folks that come to church, they're drug addicts anyway. They are, on prescription dope. No. Notice, Brother Ben said he was shaking, crying, no doubt a terrible condition. Many of us hit those places, especially after Mount Carmel experience. I know that a man can overwork himself, and a man can underwork himself. And a man, God knows this man needs feeding. He needed something to eat. And remember, the ravens have fed him, and the widows fed him. But this time he needs something the widow can't give him. This time he needs something the ravens can't bring. It has to come from another realm and has to be blended into cornmeal. Only a heavenly being can take heavenly things and merge it into natural and make it digestible to a mortal human being. Glory to God. Notice this. Oh my, under this place where he was laying, God had to do something for him. God has to do something for every man that comes under the juniper tree or he'll go to pieces. He has to do it if his servant's laying under the tree yonder, don't know what to do. He's carried out his commission. Elijah said, oh Lord, let me die. I've had those feelings. After I come out of a meeting and look like I tried and preached and begged and persuaded. I'm seeing the angel of God sweep through a meeting and do signs and wonders and sit in the car on the outside and hear him cry and say it was nothing but psychology. There's nothing to it. Nothing to it. It's all nonsense. And then I'd crawl under the juniper tree and I'd think, Lord, what'd you let me do it for? Why can't it be done? But we all hit those experiences. But the mercy of Jehovah to his servant, God knows your trials. Sometimes you feel like, as I did one time, to put a pistol against my head to commit suicide. Naturally, humanly speaking, you was that close to not having a minute, a prophet. You was that close to not having your message that you needed so desperately. That close. And when that didn't work, he climbed up a power pole. Gonna lay his hands on the power lines. He was so desperate. Let me tell you something, friends. Message folks that are so heartless, when people come to this spot and they berate them, they look at them and act like they're not even Christians. It's not them people that are nervous. I don't understand. It's them others that have no sympathy. I don't understand them at all. Notice this. Put a pistol against my head to commit suicide. But I couldn't do it. Took my gloves off to land on a high voltage line where I was working. But I couldn't do it. Remember, he tells that last story. When he put his hands over on the lines and when he come to himself, sat at the bottom of the pole.
What was it? God knew I needed him. God knew you needed him.
Something still held. The same God that was with Elijah, the same God today. He's seen me under the juniper tree. My wife, my baby laying yonder in the grave. My dad, my brother-in-law. When I was about to be gone myself. I laid under the juniper tree. It's hard. I got to a place I was so beside myself. I tried to take a gun and shoot my brains out. And it wouldn't do it. So there's work yet to be done. Amen. Something has to be done. God wasn't finished.
He'll always take care of you. Yeah, let me tell you something. I thank God for Free Moral Agency, sorta. I thank God that I got one, sorta. But I'm sure glad that God's sovereign will is greater than Free Moral Agency. Brother Branham, by Free Moral Agency, would have killed himself. No doubt some of you by Free Moral Agency would have killed yourself. But God's own divine sovereign will overrode your sovereign will, knowing you were so nervous and so upset. I think we could express it like the old colored lady said down south and she'd been hit by an automobile. A car had struck her and they asked her if she wanted to sue for damage. She said, lousy no, child. I don't need damage. I need repair. Oh, glory. Don't you love these theological terms that Brother Branham drags out of the great commentaries of time of the great scholars? Ah, lousy, no, child. I don't need damage. I need repair. And I think that's the way it is with the church. It needs a repair, a place under the juniper tree so we can be alone. The prophet that great day, how disappointed he was. That he had done exactly what God had told him to do. And he thought surely if he did that, the people would believe it. Now you imagine Elijah, this is what God's letting him think it. While he's doing this great thing, he's got these mental thoughts. I know when I do this. I know when I do it, it'll turn the whole nation. God didn't correct that thought. God just left that thought right there. And when Elijah got done, it didn't happen the way he thought. And then that thought of what he expected wasn't the word of the Lord. But that thought now he's dealing with it. That service didn't go over like I thought it would. Seemed like nobody even enjoyed it. The sinner just looking around at one. Oh God, I must have made a terrible mistake. Oh God, it must have been awful. Hold your peace, Elijah. Anybody else will come tomorrow. But you see, Elijah was struggling. Why? Feeling like he was a failure. Listen, friends. You'll never know unless you're a preacher how it feels to give so much. And it seems like it means so little. You'll never know. One of the greatest disappointments ever preacher fights is feeling like he's wasting his time. And the people that you love so much more than yourself, you give yourself for them. And they're the very ones that stab you in the back. Right? You see, when the devil gets a hold of a person, he just does him awful. And he thought the signs and wonders of the living God would be sufficient. But it wasn't. Listen to this. He was worn out. His nerves were all on edge just before the rapture. Remember now, this is just before his rapture. Just like the people today. We need a juniper tree. I preach to tired people, nervous people. Pray for nervous people. It's a nervous, neurotic, upset world right now we're living in. Everybody's on the edge as to say or to speak. Like it's just any little thing so upsets them. Have you ever seen such a time in your life that friendships and relationships seem like you've known people for years? The best of buddies, the best of friends. And one little thing, it blows into a mountain-sized thing and seems like you can never get it fixed. You think, what in the world is the matter with people? Right here, everybody's nerves is on edge. Husband come in from work. Wife's had a bad day. He's expecting to be met at the door. Laid back over in her arms. I mean, her pop a big old kiss right on his lips. And instead, she comes to the door with her fist. And why don't you raise your voice to me? I've been here with these young ones all day long. And if you say one thing, I'm throwing you in the river. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You want me to start in the kitchen or the dining room? Where do you want me to start, ma'am? Notice this. Did you notice immediately after Elijah's ministry with that Jezebel, all the people tried to pattern after her and everything, how he must have rammed and cut that gospel in there. Finally, after done, proved God was God. God come down and vindicated he was God. He had a nervous breakdown. He went out and sat under the juniper tree and wanted to die and pray for God to take his life. Now let's see if we can get him a little help before we close. This is Elijah's ER. Elijah's ER. There's no one there. Nobody drove him in. Nobody to meet him at the front desk. He's out in the middle of nowhere. His servant doesn't know where he's at. Jezebel don't know. Nobody knows. But God. So he finally makes it out in the middle of the wilderness and the trees are sparse. And he finally makes it under a juniper tree. Evergreen. You know what a juniper is. So it comes underneath it. Branches being thick, so they keep the branches all year long and their foliage on it. So it climbs barely, makes it underneath their hot pan. God, I don't even want to live. Kill me. Let me die of a heat stroke. I don't want to preach no more. Sick of it. Sick of preaching. Sick of telling people what to do and they laugh at you. But he's in the ER. So God's got special ER staff. Now, unless they've changed, some of the times I've been over to the med center, you could die in the ER waiting room. Come on, all you folks that work at the med center, go ahead and nod your head. They're not watching you. Glory. So he gets it, makes it into the ER, and he's just so wore out. He says, God, oh God. So when he goes to sleep, God sends down the special ER staff. And he lay and slept under the juniper tree. And behold, then an angel, notice, touched him. He didn't shake him. He didn't grab hold of him and shake him. But he reaches over and touches him so not to alarm him. He's not greeted by someone at the desk. But the first one that he meets in this ER is the angel in heaven who has the softest hand. You didn't know that. You know there were different angels of different degrees as far as skin texture. So he touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink. And lay him down again. I remember this depression. It's so breaking me. He's in a nervous breakdown. So the angel just works with him. According to his needs. So he just touches him. He's, what is it? Nobody out here but me. And not to alarm him. With an appearance that would not scare him. He says, you want something to eat? Here, eat a little bit. Just eat a little bit. Now Elijah didn't know. That there was some heavenly vitamins packed up in that little whole cake of bread. But the angel didn't make it look like angel's food, but he made it look like hoe cakes. Y'all know what hoe cakes are? You city slickers. Now he makes a little bit of that cornmeal, but he ain't just mixing up, you know, the burrs off of the corn, but he's mixing a little bit of supernatural vitamins on the inside, but he cloaks it inside a sermon. From just a preacher that gets tongue-tied and says the wrong words and all that. But the Elijahs can see, oh, there's vitamin A for Alpha. There's vitamin B for the beginning. There's vitamin C for Christ. There's vitamin D for deity. There's vitamin E for everything. There's vitamin F for first. There's vitamin G for God. Vitamin H for Him. Vitamin I for I. Amen. And they pick up and say, well, it smells like a regular sermon. It sounds like a regular sermon. It even tastes like a regular sermon. Until you eat it. And then all of a sudden, Oh, but you're sometimes in such bad shape, it only helps you for just a little bit. He's gone again. So the ER people. Blood pressure okay. Attitude, still low. Spirit, still broken. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Amen. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. And said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Brother Bam said, poor little fellow, skinny, laying there, his gray hair hanging over his shoulders. God said, my servant needs some rest. God's mercy to his servant had just laid him down on a bunch of weeds, and he went to sleep. I'd imagine there was 10,000 angels watching him. Oh, glory to God. I'd imagine there's 10,000 angels watching him sleep. There's one assurance the believer has, though the world turned him down, yet God loves him. The world may call you holy roller, it may call you fanatic, but if you're true to God, there's one thing sure, God loves you. And his angels are encamped about those who fear him. Imagine on every limb, all around the place, were swarms of angels. Notice. And God. And God. So in the ministry of Elijah, God comes down. Isn't it amazing? God didn't come down on Carmel. God didn't come down on Beersheba. But God came down at the juniper tree. Oh Lord. God came down and He said, my poor little tired servant is so nervous and tore up. He don't know what to do. I want to pick out the angel standing here that's got the softest hands. Lord, children, you taught me God's love.
Amen.
Don't you scare Him. Listen to this. Don't you scare Him. Walk over and stroke His brow. Right easy. And I want the best cook among you. Imagine angels cooking. Lord Jesus. So the one with the softest hand, he has the stroking department. So he's in the ER to comfort. And then this ER, God says, I want the best angel. Oh, which one of them is the best cook? Well, I don't know where angels need to cook. I want the best cook. Step forward. So here steps forward, this angel. Great, I don't know. I'm deemed the best cook. It would be an honor for me to fix cornbread for your prophets. Glory. Go out there and get all the vitamins you can find and put in this cornmeal. The world's turned him down and I'm going to treat him right.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. Hallelujah. That means praise our God. Don't get scared of that. Bring forth the best we got. Cook him a corn cake and set him down some water. And this soft-handed angel went over and stroked this little servant of God on the brow. Remember, if you've done your best, God still got those angels in order. He loves you just the same as He loved Elijah. He stroked his brow and Elijah woke up. I may hear you say something like this. The Lord your God who loves you. You've done your best, Elijah. I only sent those signs for a witness in the day of judgment. They'll have to stand there alone. You've done as I told you to do. I know you're tired and weary now. And the Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, sent me to feed you this bread and this water. Elijah rubbing his eyes. Raising up, little frail, shaking hands, took a hold of the bread and ate it. Just then that great angelic choir come out, formed a little panoramic around him like that, and began to sing songs like no mother, oh glory, like no mother could coo to her baby to sleep. Notice, you know, he's eating now, his belly's full, and there under the great angelic choir director, hallelujah. Great Adonai. Thousands times thousands times thousands of voices with all the harmonies and all that there. And Elijah says, oh, it's so wonderful. So wonderful. That's right. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep, Elijah. You are tired and worn out. The Lord God understands. You're His servant with all your heart. You've served Him faithfully. Now He's come to rest your body. 'Cause you're gonna take a rapture very shortly. Oh, glory! Glory! Hallelujah!
Let me find a place to close. Then Father turned around and said, you know, I love him so much. Amen. Let me ask you, what would that be worth to you? To hear God say that about you. I love him so much. The journey's great. He's got a lot to go through yet. I'm not through with him. I must feed him again. So he called the angels and dumped in another big bundle of vitamins and cooked up another corn cake. Set him a cruse of water and stroked his brow and fed him again. Watch this. And the scripture will close. He arose and did eat and drink and went into the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came at him and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Let's stand. Brother Bram says, in getting the Spirit, a very beautiful type Elijah was of this day. Maybe a little bit off the beaten line from some men who knows the Bible better than I, but I kindly believe that there'll be a message in the last days, something like Elijah. And that Elijah church will not die, but be translated. Take it up! Fire will take it up into glory. The Pentecostal fire. Rapture it up. Enoch's rapture was for one man. Elijah's rapture was for one man. But the third rapture brought a new change. The third rapture was Jesus, the head of the Old Testament church. He comes to cap off that church. So now he changed the order of rapture. One head, one body. Glory. Do you understand? When the resurrection sets in, Brother Branham, Paul, Peter, James, John, all of them will raise. As being the messenger of this age, Brother Branham will present us. Do you understand? We will be raptured with Elijah. He will resurrect first, and he will, of course, the resurrection will set in first. But whenever we're actually raptured and we're all called up, the Elijah church will leave this world with Elijah. Thank you, Lord. Ain't that wonderful? The Elijah church will leave the world with Elijah. Praise the Lord. Let's bury it, if you would. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're over Norway streaming this service. Uganda. Out in the wilderness of Canada. Down in Brazil. Wherever you are. Up in the nursery. Some of the brothers up in the sound room. Wherever you are. Mount Carmel. Juniper tree, Beersheba, Sarah Pass. Maybe you're sitting at the Brook Cherris. Everything seems to be going well. Let me not scare you, but let me forewarn you. More than likely, the brook will dry up on you. And you'll have to move on. You see, Elijah was a transient prophet. He was not one that just come and lived in a certain place and had a certain dwelling and stayed there all the time. But he was here and there and there and there and there. A pilgrim on a journey. So is the Elijah church. Not so much in the natural realm, I mean, but in the spiritual realm. We're pilgrims. This world is not our home. We're transient, looking for a home, for a place that has foundations. If you're under that juniper today and you don't know what to do, you feel so stressed, your job, your home, just so many things. Things about even God and His Word that you're struggling with to try to understand and try to grasp of where you are. He's still got those angels. That cook's still around. If you only understood, friends, how God is able to intervene with ministering spirits. I've been studying for several weeks for this weekend. I thought I was studied out for what I was going to preach this weekend. I printed it out, sent it to Brother Michael and them for them to put up on the screen here for you. But whenever I came here last night and the Lord led me in a total, total different direction. Last night when I went to bed and had it on my mind first thing this morning, my eyes popped open before daylight. It's on my mind again. So I had to get up and go downstairs and re-study and re- I mean, all of this that you've heard today was not even in my plans to even go this way at all. You believe what you want. I believe God still has angels, ministering spirits, that's able to go in a direction that'll minister to the needs of the saints. Hallelujah. You have a need in your heart, your life, on your job, in your home, your finances, whatever it is. Would you just signify that need to the Lord today by just uplifting your hand? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I bring these tired, weary, nervous, pressed people to you today. If Brother Branham would say that in 1959, I wonder what he would say today. If he were here with that gift, able to look across this audience and see all the troubles and all the heartaches, all the sorrows, the difficulties that these people carry in their lives, what all would he tell us? Lord Jesus, we know he's not here, but you are. And we know it was not Brother Branham that was the discerner, but it was the Word. And the Word is still here today to be able to discern. Not turning a man around and using a man, but through the preaching of the Word, it can go right to our very hearts. Lord Jesus, I pray and minister to your children. I know what those juniper trees are, Lord. I've had several of them in my lifetime. I'm always so grateful. I'm always so grateful when I'm out from under it. I appreciate all people's advice and all their counsel and to try to lead you in the right direction. But really, when a person gets there, it's supernatural intervention that'll bring them out. The servant of Elijah could not have brought him out. It could not have been any of the church people. It could not have been really anybody else. It took a divine intervention from another dimension. Lord Jesus, I pray today, Lord. Several ministers, Lord, on my heart today. Dear God, I know some of the things are going through. I won't mention their name, Lord, but you know what I'm thinking right now. I pray for them, Lord. I pray you'd help them in this time of need. I pray for these sheep here. I pray for your people around the world, Lord God. May you minister to them strength, courage. Send the angel with the softest hand, the best cook. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Let's just raise our hands now to him, not in the form of petition, but in the form of praise. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find it's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs he will supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together. Reach out and touch the Lord. What do you need from him? Healing in your body, strength, courage. He's here. God came down. God came down. God came down. He's right here among us today. He's passing by this moment. On your knees, he wants to supply. If you reach out.
supply. Just reach out.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Let's sing it once more before we go.
Praise God. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He is.
God bless you, children. I love you so much in the Lord. May God minister to you. May God give you strength. May He give you what you have need of.
Hearts cry by this moment, all your needs He will supply. Oh, reach out and touch your Lord as He goes by. And it's touching Jesus is all that really matters.
God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I love you.
Will never be quite the same.